Maybe.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too.
Because people like to say salsa.
Grab me a telescope. We'll see if that's the case or not.
May the fourth be with you, and we're going to get phone calls when I play this.
Live long and prosper.
Same thing, right? Star Trek, Star Wars, same thing. Right?
Same as.
Yeah.
No difference.
Same thing.
You're just trying to tame and grasp that final frontier, outer space. Take your phone calls, 651-989-9105. And, oh, by the way, if you are the 15th caller, win a pair of tickets to see the Red Hot Twins host the Oakland A's tomorrow, Tuesday, at Target Field. Caller 15 at 651-989-9105. Good luck, Sissy Pants. And all you Star Wars, Star Trek, same thing, fans. You can call us anytime you want.
Same thing.
I mean, you know,
it's the same
you
thing.
Got Chewie, Chewbacca, you got Vader, you got, it's all Spock.
Mm-hmm. Captain Kirk.
Kirk. You got,
who would win, do you think? The Star Wars, the Luke Skywalker crew, or Star Trek, the Captain Kirk and the Starship Enterprise?
Oh, Kirk and Spock would take out Vader and just whoop some ass. Yeah. Take them downtown, bang. This draft is looking pretty good. I'm looking at all the different grades from different people. ESPN, NFL.com, the Norseman, Daily Norseman.
SportsCenter today, they did a round of eight or whatever, and the Minnesota Vikings ended up losing out to the Baltimore Ravens.
They did good, too. They got our guy, Max Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking over about six different ones right now. The lowest grade we've got out of these six is a B plus as a whole.
Really?
That's the lowest.
Really?
There are four others that are A's.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty. I think so, too. I really do. You couldn't have done much better than he did this time, Spielberg. Who do you think would win, Spielberg or Christopher Nolan?
Who's Christopher Nolan?
Did he do The Last Batman?
Oh. Spielberg?
I think Spielberg wins.
For sure. Here's what I don't understand. Why does everybody think Ted Thompson is this draft genius? A guy that continually drafts. I mean, Green Bay Packer fans that are friends of mine are texting me all weekend going, what is going on? And then I think you see the same deal, too, when Aaron Rodgers decides he has an injury. You go down, and the Green Bay Packers are terrible. If they're such a great team and they draft so well, it's basically Aaron Rodgers. And without Aaron Rodgers, that team's terrible.
We're catching up, Green Bay. That worthless Marsh Hallberg came over to the house. I don't even know why I invited him.
Yeah, why did you invite him?
Green Bay.
You let him into the man cave, which is like historically like hallowed ground, Viking memorabilia.
You see him like shrivel up? It was like kryptonite.
Yeah. His glasses fogged up, though. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. He was crying. That's why. But I think that we do about as good as anyone in the last three or four years. I don't know of anyone that's doing much better, and it is a crapshoot anyway. So
then why don't we win?
Because
why don't we have winning records?
We get injured. We like to get injured here. We love getting injured. We love sitting in court all day. That's what we like to do. Instead of running the football, we like to go sit in Texas and just stay in courtrooms all day for like a year.
So the thing that's flabbergasting to me is Rick Spielman. I mean, the 2, 3, 2, and then 1, the first round draft picks the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And obviously being given an A in the best draft of the year last year, 2014.
You'd be damn close this year, too.
Why the heck?
The Ravens, you
don't
said,
we win ball games?
It's coming. I think it's coming. I think the future is definitely changing now. I think we're turning over a new leaf. Bridgewater just needs to have one more. I think we're up and running. If we get, you know, if Jicky Jack comes back and runs the ball.
Jicky Jack.
I mean, Peterson, if he just lines up back there and doesn't have, you know, cop an attitude and he goes back to being even remotely close to what he used to be, this isn't going to be a bad football team.
No, not
I'm
at all.
I'm telling you.
Because I was talking to a friend off the air earlier this afternoon. He's a huge Minnesota Vikings fan. You think about it. And the Vikings didn't do a ton on offense. I mean, they got TJ Clemmings, maybe one of the steals of the draft in the fourth round, a massive offensive lineman.
He looks good.
They got a lot of depth the later rounds, tight end, a wide receiver, a couple big offensive linemen as well.
Yeah.
But when you they added depth to the offensive line.
Pruitt, we mentioned him.
And you're getting Adrian Peterson back from an offense that really wasn't bad last year. I mean, the defense ranked higher than the offense did, but you get Teddy Bridgewater coming back, hopefully taking another step because you saw him continually learn and progress every single game. I'm hoping against all hope that he doesn't have a sophomore slump. Kyle Rudolph will be healthy. The offensive line will be healthy, at least at the beginning of the season. And then you add a couple of thumpers. I mean, Trey Waynes, who's great in press coverage and fast as all get out, the best cornerback in the draft. Same goes for Eric Kendricks, who can play sideline to sideline extremely fast, not as huge, not as big, not the prototypical size.
He's a heat seeker, though.
But he will find you and he will tackle you. The best inside linebacker in the draft the first two rounds on the defense. And then with Danelle Hunter coming around, he's going to be like a Scott Crichton guy he probably won't play. This year, Scott Crichton didn't play very much, if at all.
Very little.
And so I think they're building towards the future here. But that defense, man, oh, God, I'm going to be so excited.
We got better on the defensive side of the ball. You throw Trey Waynes in there. You got Newman to help him. You got Rhodes is going to be better. They got the coaching staff in place now, finally. So that a second year with the system in place and people getting used to what's going on with Norv Turner and with Zimmer and that defense. I mean, you get Peterson back. Big Clemmings steps over there at left guard. They exercise the fifth option year with Khalil and with Harrison Smith. We're going to be up and at it. I think we're going to be up and at it. And some other kids from last year, too. Anton Exum.
Yep.
He's looking better. So I don't know.
I hate to wish away the summer because we only have like 3 weeks of it here in Minnesota, as we all know. Otherwise, it's 9 months of snow and coldness. I just want football to start already.
I do, too.
Just want football
Rock
to start.
Rock and roll, man.
Hoochie-coo.
Just throw the dog days of summer at us, and let's get going here. Get a little training camp going. Just bypass all these OTAs and minicamp. We got Chris Shad. He's going to come on. Now, he's been very controversial, this Chris Shad, with Cold Omaha. You know, we went into the whole Doriel Green Beckham thing. We'll ask him about how that turned out. He goes to the Titans with Mariota.
Mariota,
the commissioner,
Marcus Mariota,
and
David Cobb too of the Gophers, fifth round.
Don't know. That's a steal, by the way.
Got Tennessee Titans building something there on offense.
Yeah, I think so. So anyway, we're going to come back and talk with Chris Shad of Cold Omaha, and we'll talk about the Viking continued commitment to defense in this draft. Next.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
You know, it's the kind of guy, this Chris Shad with Cold Omaha, that sometimes you want to just take him and just put him in a stranglehold for saying some of the things that he says about Doriel Green Beckham and we need him so bad. And then...
No, we don't need a wide receiver, period. Granted, the Minnesota Vikings took one, Stephon Diggs, in the fifth round out of Maryland, but went for depth.
Yeah.
There are so many other glaring holes and needs that the Vikings addressed, thankfully. Doriel Green Beckham, please.
So now we're going to let him take a shot at this defense and how we continue to stay committed to turning this defense around and making that more of a force, since we're going with that theme, the force
we need.
And we do have to go with the force.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to invite Chris Shad back. Once again, no hot dogs. So anyway, we're going to give it another shot, though. Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're hungry.
Could have been better, but yeah, otherwise, we're pretty excited with what the Minnesota Vikings did over the weekend, but we really could use some hot dogs.
Yeah, I know. My hookup's still not coming through from Kansas City.
No, you don't know.
As soon as we
Excuses. And then Dorial Green-Beckham.
And Dorial Green-Beckham. When Mariota is tossing touchdowns to Dorial Green-Beckham this fall, I think you'll change your tone, but we'll see what happens.
I sure am hungry. I don't know where your hookup is, but if you were hanging out with Jameis Winston, I'm sure you would have had him by now.
I would have had crab legs for you, probably. I don't know if they'd be legal, but I certainly have them.
Well, yeah, no question. So this draft, I mean, let's face it. I mean, let's get serious here. I mean, the Vikings have improved the defense, I think, dramatically. They filled in at two obvious vacant spots with probably the best corner. And I don't know why. See if you can answer this one for me. Why did Kendricks fall as far as he did? He should have been a first rounder. He was the Butkus Award winner. They say he covers sideline to sideline, which he does. The best cover linebacker in the draft. Why did he end up at number two?
The draft is just weird. I mean, we can sit around for 2 or 3 months and try and project the draft, but I mean, once the draft actually happens, you see guys slide that you had no idea would slide that far. Randy Gregory is a prime example, even though it kind of came out that he was a head case, skipping team meetings and a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, you know, players fall for almost no reason, because once the bullets start flying, I don't know if it's like a fantasy football draft where your guy gets snubbed and you're like, oh, what do I do now? And next thing you know, Troy Williamson's your starting wide receiver. I mean, you know, Kendricks is a great player. He's fast. He's physical. He's definitely something the Vikings haven't had at middle linebacker since EJ Henderson either retired or got cut. I can't remember what it was right now, but I think that filling him in the middle linebacker was probably their best pick of the draft, because it filled such a need that's been around since 2009, 2010.
Yeah, I love Eric Kendricks to death. We're talking to Chris Shad, part of our Cold Omaha writing team at 105theticket.com. Do you think, and Superstar, this can be to you and Chris Shad, do you think Kendricks will be the middle linebacker? Do you think he'll start on the outside opposite Anthony Barr? And the only reason that I can think of putting everything together and doing all the research and talking to the sources that we have here, the reason why Eric Kendricks fell is because he just doesn't have that prototypical size for a middle linebacker. He's a little short, but he's great at covering. Like you said, he's quick. He plays sideline to sideline. He's a heat-seeking missile. He tackles. He the Butkus Award winner, the best linebacker in all of college football last year. Like I said, we were doing high fives and a little getting down to a little jiggy dance at out on the patio at the office on Friday afternoon when they made that pick. I couldn't believe he was still there in the second round, because you wanted Trey Waynes in the first round. I wanted the Minnesota Vikings to trade back, which is what Rick Spielman said he wanted to do, trade back and then take Eric Kendricks. But for him to be there in the second round, I was singing hallelujah to him. All my Green Bay Packer friends were just so irate, texting me, we wanted him. Okay, well, you should have taken him in the first round instead of your douchebag Randall douche nuts, whatever you took.
I don't know what that, yeah.
I personally have no idea what the Packers were thinking, taking Demaryius Randall over Eric Kendricks, and maybe that's a little bit of purple talking, but I mean, even if I wasn't a Vikings fan, the Packers were so desperate at middle linebacker last year, they had to use Clay Matthews and take him off the edge. I would think that your number one priority, if you are Ted Thompson, is to get him back on the outside, terrorizing those big, slow linemen and letting him hit quarterbacks. So I was stunned that Kendricks did fall to 45, and you know, for the Vikings to scoop him up, it was a perfect pick.
And you know, and a credit to Richard Spielberg. I mean, let's face it. I mean, he knows. He's got a pretty good feel for the other teams in front of him and what they're going to do. And if it makes it past a certain team, or he definitely knows who they're most interested in, and they're not on his guy, he continues to gamble and let it slide until it falls right to him. And then he gets him for the bargain basement. But value beyond, truly, totally beyond the bargain basement price. He gets a legit player.
Come on back.
Not even about a minute.
Sure.
Wow. Jeez. We're working hard for the money.
Yeah.
Come on back.
Passionate sports talk. 105 The Ticket.
Well, let's get on. Get on with it. Get you know, move on.
Get
upward,
on.
Upward, and after it. And It's that time of year again where we sit down and see what the hell we got in the jackpot, in the talent pool. It'd be safe to say that both sides of the ball have been improved greatly over the last 2 years, not to mention the help of a new coaching staff to make that happen. Mm. All those dreams come true with the right system. But we've got some players in town. Let's break it down.
Quarterbacks. Nothing really changed over the weekend. Teddy Bridgewater, the incumbent, he's the starter, second-year player. Sean Hill, the veteran free agent that the Minnesota Vikings signed, the old graybeard, going to provide valuable veteran leadership, played under North Turner's system. And then, of course, you have Mike Kafka. The quarterback situation is set. They signed an undrafted free agent quarterback, but I mean, a practice squad maybe. Quarterback.
Got to have a throw. Got to have a camp arm. And so that'll be taken care of. You don't want to throw your quarterbacks to death all the way through training camp and all summer long. So
nothing necessarily to see in the quarterback situation, nor the running back area either. I mean, Adrian Peterson, barring some sort of catastrophic incident, likely to be back with the Minnesota Vikings. Rick Spielman said, again, there's no story here. Time to move on. Stop asking questions because Adrian Peterson is going to be a Minnesota Viking. So you have Adrian Peterson, Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata, Joe Banyard.
There are some guys on that list that I know people don't weigh into to them very seriously. They only want to talk about McKinnon, of course, Adrian. Mm. Asiata and Banyard are good for me, too. They keep that little stable. We'll run it by committee, whatever it takes. But I do like those guys. Yeah. I like every one of them.
Zach Lyon, fullback, or possibly Mecole Pruitt, who the Minnesota Vikings drafted in the fifth round. Very speedy. He's a tight end, but with Kyle Rudolph, Red Ellison, Chase Ford, Brandon Bostic at the tight end position, that seemed to be pretty solid for the tight ends. Mecole Pruitt, to be a fifth-round draft pick, could be a fullback. I mean, obviously, we saw the Minnesota Vikings not use the fullback in Jerome Felton very often last year. But if you can create some mismatches, the guy runs a 4.5 40. He can catch, he can block, he can do it all.
That's what I like. I mean, he's sort of that old throwback H-back. That's exactly. I mean, it's kind of gone. You know, the offenses have kind of gone away from the H-back, so they can get another receiver out there or a big two tight end set like, you know, the Patriots have had and like the New Orleans has had. We've got a couple tight ends that can run that, but an H-back would be nice to be able to come back if you had the kind of kid with speed and some ability to block on the edge mm-hmm. and help chip off with a tackle.
So you think he could take Red Ellison's spot?
I don't think he can. No, I'm not blocking wise. I don't think so. Ellison's great in the backfield. He's found a nice yeah. niche in the backfield out of the eye.
He's the starting H-back, isn't he?
You don't really see an H-back per se. You see more of just a traditional fullback, even out of Ellison.
Sure.
He just leads on power.
I love that guy.
He's a player. His father was a great player.
Offensive line, the Minnesota Vikings took a bunch of players later on in the draft, fourth round, sixth round, seventh round. But how do you see the starting lineup of the starting five offensive linemen? Obviously, Matt Khalil, left tackle. We'll go to left guard here in just a second because that's kind of a question mark. John Sullivan, center. Brennan Fusco, right guard. Phil Lotholt, right tackle. Circle back to left guard. Is it Joe Berger? Michael Harris, obviously a swing tackle. Babatunde Ayegbuesi, he's the Polish guy, 6'9". He's probably not going to play.
Just saw him with an interview with Eric Perkins. Mm.
He's a media darling, but
I don't understand that at all.
I mean,
he doesn't look like anything else. Like the guys we picked up in the draft, the big offensive lineman.
TJ Clemmings, fourth round out of Pitt. Tyrus Thompson, he was, I believe, the sixth round draft pick. Austin mm-hmm. Shepard out of Alabama came out of the seventh. Out of Alabama came in the seventh round.
You take your choice. I mean, it's dealer's choice on that. I don't know who the Yankee. I was going to ask. Well, I don't know if Dane Bugler would have known how good, if he could remember how good Yankee was when he came out of Stanford. But
I want to say
at the time he was considered just an absolute steal.
Same thing with T.J. Clemmings out of Pitt, who the Minnesota Vikings got in the fourth round. I remember out of Stanford last year, David Yankee falling to the fifth round, and everybody going, "Wow,
yeah,
what a get by the Minnesota Vikings!" Didn't see the field at all last year.
That's what that's what we kept hearing all the time. So I like it. I like the whole thing, and. I think that Clemmings is going to be the kind of guy that can jump in there somewhere. I don't even really know where, but Lotholt came back improved, I think, last year. He came back in much better shape.
But then he got injured.
Then he got
season
hurt.
Season-ending injury. It was a pectoral. You're right. Yeah.
I think it was. But Zimmer was so happy with him. And I talked with Zimmer in training camp, and he said, man, Lotholt, he worked out this summer. He really got himself ready to go. He looked pretty good, too. He really did. But
I'd be worried if I was Phil Loadholt, because the Minnesota Vikings can save $6 million if they cut him next year. And by the way that things look, T.J. Clemmings could slide right in there in that right tackle
Clemmings
spot.
Clemmings is all about the right tackle, and he picks it up. He must have a good football IQ to be able to jump over from the defensive side of the ball. Offensive linemen are typically very, very sharp players. They just are, because the assignment and the playbook is extensive for an offensive lineman. Plus, and for him to pick that up already, that's good. And they said he's just absolutely getting better and better and better the more he understands about offensive line play.
Plus, he's quite the athlete, and you have to be smart, really, to be recruited to play both basketball and football for Duke. They don't just take any random slouch off the couch.
We know that one firsthand with Tyus Jones. You got to be a player to play for Coach K. But it's going to be really fascinating to see Clemmings. I'm so excited to see Clemmings. Isn't that funny? He's wearing my number, too. So I'm happy for this kid. I like it. And I think we've got an improved team. We'll come back and talk about the other side of the football next. That's kind of some rough neck music. What do you got going on there, man?
Oh, you know, just a little five-finger death punch Rob Halford from Judas Priest playing this weekend.
Priest.
We've got sold-out tickets to Northern Invasion, Somerset Amphitheater, all week. It's this Saturday, Wisconsin. So keep listening if you want to go.
Did you ever listen to any Priest growing up?
A little bit. Priest was beyond before my time.
Singer wasn't?
You got another thing coming.
A little Screaming for Vengeance, Electric Eye. Mm. Bloodstone.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to talk about the other side of the ball, and that's the side I think is probably going to be improved the most, not only because of personnel and matchups and how we match up with people now in the NFC North. Those receivers are going to, you know, we're going to have people that can battle. I don't know about strong safety yet. I hope that Blanton comes along. I hope he brings it. I hope he learned, and he had a good year last year. I think he may have missed one or two games. He was injured, but he came to play every time. And I wonder if he won't take another step in the Zimmer defense. I'm hoping for the best on that. We've got a lot of different things to pick from there now. But the two main things, Rhodes, Waynes. You got Terrence Newman behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Munderland, throw him in there at nickel and dime. Hey, look. Play him somewhere. He's a pretty decent player. You got Price coming up. You got Exum coming up. Harrison Smith, they exercised his fifth-year option.
What about Anton Exum? A lot of people that cover the Minnesota Vikings are very high on him. He was a late-round draft pick last year.
Love him. Stacked draft. I love that kid.
Taylor Mays, can't forget him. He may just be a special teams player, but played for Mike Zimmer under the Cincinnati Bengal regime.
He's only here for one reason. Mike Zimmer wants him here.
Yeah. What about moving one of these cornerbacks to safety?
I can see it.
Which one would you move to safety? Opposite Harrison Smith, obviously. Josh Robinson?
Josh Robinson, maybe. I don't know. I can't see him coming up and thumping anyone. I mean, I think that Blanton's just got to do one. He's got to come around one more year. I think he's ripe and ready. Both those guys, both of our safeties are from Notre Dame. I like that bunch back there. I really do. I think Blanton came up and made like 115 tackles. He was kicking some ass last year.
So let's just start on the defensive line. Everson Griffin, obviously the right end. Scott Crichton, B.J. DuBose.
Yeah. I have no trouble with the first man. Crichton, question mark. Yeah. He will be pushed. He will be pushed by our little project.
He's a third-round draft pick last year. He needs to be out on the field. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Hell yes, he does. He didn't surface, though, and that's okay. I want to see Sharif Floyd come around one more time, too. Stay healthy. Get yourself in great shape. That guy, Sharif Floyd's real deal.
Yeah.
He can play.
Left end, Brian Robinson, who's probably going to play his last year with the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, you draft a guy like T.J. Clemmings, and you draft a guy like Danelle Hunter, and you have guys behind him that are young, and you've been drafted pretty high. The writing's on the wall. If Brian Robinson, who said himself that he didn't think he had a down year, even though his numbers portrayed the fact that it looked like he had a down year. I would say that he's making a lot of money. My guess is this will be the last year he's on the Minnesota Vikings, if he isn't already a June 1st cut.
I don't think that'll ever happen. He's too much leader in the locker room, but that's not it. He still is a very solid football player. He may have had a tough year, but he's still one of their stud horses. That guy can play both the run and the pass. Probably would like to see him a little heavier in the passing game, pass rush. He shows up. He hurries that quarterback a lot. May not have the numbers, the sheer numbers that Griffin had, or that Tom Johnson had, for that matter. 6.5 sacks. I think that Shreve Floyd had 3 or 4 sacks and was always injured. But they got Andre Patterson's going to be doing a nice job. He is a great defensive line coach. I had him back here in 98 and several years in between there. He knows what he's doing. He definitely will help these guys. He had the Dallas Cowboy defensive line for years and years. So Patterson is back. He's told us things about Stephens, and he's told us a lot about Linville Joseph. Those are all players. Those guys can all play, and that's the last thing that we need too much. This Hunter kid, I can't wait for this. That's going to be a hell of a project.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Hell of a project.
Three technique defensive tackle. Obviously, you mentioned Shreve Floyd, backed up by Tom Johnson. Solid.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Nose tackle, big Linval Joseph. He needs to have a year. Backed up by Shamar Stephan, who was a 7th-round draft pick last year.
I guess we'll give him another shot.
Oh, I see what you did there. See what you did.
Okay.
Linval Joseph, though, I know he got shot in the leg last year, but were you as disappointed with him as I was?
Yeah, I don't know how disappointed you were. I was pretty disappointed, though. Yeah, I was. Yeah, but Patterson likes it, but that's good enough for me. When Big Andre talks, I'm listening. And he likes, what is Stephen's name? His first name? Shamar?
Shamar Stephan. Yeah. That guy, he's a player.
I guess he's real deal.
7th-round draft pick, came in and made some serious plays last year.
I guess he's real deal. That's and again, if Andre said so, he's not throwing me any baloney.
Strong side linebacker Anthony Barr, backed up by Casey Matthews and Edmund Robinson, who is a Division II draft pick in the 7th round by the Vikings over the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Matthews or the last. I sure as heck know something about Anthony Barr, though.
Yeah.
That's an upcoming superstar in this league.
Middle linebacker, the starter, Eric Kendricks. Rookie, 2nd round draft pick, UCLA Butkus Award winner, backed up by Audie Cole and Michael Mowdy in the middle.
I don't know if Mowdy's going to make it. I don't know if Mowdy's going to make the team.
I mean, these are just the people that are on the roster right now.
And that's the depth chart. So 1, 2, 3, right down the line. Mowdy was supposed to be a headhunter. He was supposed to be a thumper, a big-time run thumper.
He was the guy that fell down in the draft because he had multiple knee problems. I mean, I want to say ACL reconstructive or total knee reconstructive deals on both knees.
He was a beast at Penn State. And Sugarman really liked his chances to come back and play well, the trainer here with the Vikings. He said he was coming around very well, but he's had trouble trying to find the football field. Cole, intrigued by him to no end.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know about that. And then to go from Jasper Brinkley, who was kind of just this big tank in the middle, had some ability, now it's Eric Kendricks. Totally different kind of guy. We got a little buzz bomber in there that can cover a guy off the line of scrimmage, a tight end, someone out of the backfield. Guy can cover.
A tackling machine.
He'll come up and hit you. He's got a scope on his helmet.
Yeah.
Got the crosshairs. I love him.
And played next to Anthony Barr, UCLA, good friends, roommates back in college. Mm-hmm. The weak side linebacker, of course, Chad Greenway, signing a reconstructive deal to play them with the Minnesota Vikings for his 10th year, backed up by Gerald Hodges, or vice versa, depending on how training camp goes.
And we both know how you and I reacted when they raided all the linebackers, the outside linebackers, and found out that Hodges was like only 1 or 2 spaces or rankings behind Barr at like number 9 in the league.
But he didn't get as much playing time as Anthony Barr did, so when he was out there, he made a count, which is good.
He did.
He's another one of those guys where the Minnesota Vikings drafted maybe a little bit later in the rounds, hoping to be
and falling to 40, whatever it was, 45. I he's got a great sense for value and being able to have the guts to let a guy slide back into their hand, and it's exactly what we've needed now.
And that's been the theme of the past couple Spielman drafts. The 2013 draft was a prime example of that. Xavier Rhodes, Shreve Floyd, and Cordarrelle Patterson were all projected top 10 picks early in that combine process. Then they just started slipping. It wasn't because of a slow pro day time. It wasn't because their workouts were bad. they just were around in the 20s of that draft. And, yeah, Spielman had to trade four picks to get Patterson, but he got Sharif Floyd at 23. He got Xavier Rhodes, I think, a couple picks later at 25. This has been an ongoing process. And even after the disastrous 2012 season, this team has wanted to get value, and they've done it on the defensive end. Zimmer's the defensive coach. 2013, they took Barr at 8th overall, and letting Teddy Bridgewater fall into the lap at 32. It's just how his drafts roll.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's got some guts, and I love him to death when it comes to drafting people. I just wish that would convert into actual wins out there on the field. But it's coming, and Mike Zimmer, I have complete faith in him, too. It's just good to be a Vikings fan right now because it's only going to get better. We're talking to Chris Shad from Cold Omaha on 105theticket.com. His new article talking about the Vikings' continued commitment to defense in the draft. It's a great read. Chris, tell me your thoughts on, we've talked about this a little bit this afternoon, but I would say the third round pick, Danelle Hunter, the defensive end. Most casual fans probably don't necessarily know, and maybe kind of scratching their heads a little bit as to why the Minnesota Vikings took him so high at number three, the third round. But Mike Zimmer sees a toy there, and he sees somebody that in a year or two is going to be just maybe a Ziggy Ansah for the Minnesota Vikings on the defensive end, creating havoc in the backfield.
Yeah, he's a developmental pick. I mean, he's a big size prototype guy out of LSU. A lot of his big plays came when he was unblocked, but that's what you're looking for in the third round. Once you go deeper into the draft, you want to get guys that you think you can develop, especially in that third round. Last year they took Jerick McKinnon, the running back who could, have a big role as running back B to Adrian Peterson's A if he does return to the Vikings. But getting back to the defense, I think of Danelle Hunter, and I think what they're envisioning is kind of another Everson Griffin situation. The Vikings got Griffin in the fourth round a couple years ago, let him develop behind Jared Allen for a couple seasons, and then eventually they turned him loose last year, and he was a stud. So I'm not saying that Danelle Hunter's going to turn into Everson Griffin or, as you mentioned, Ziggy Ansah, but I think there's a lot of potential there. The Vikings have solid defensive coaches, especially along the line, and if they can get him to develop and hit a home run on the third pick, that'll be nice because I think the first two are going to turn out pretty well with Waynes and Kendrick.
I couldn't be in more agreement with you. I just think that he's done a fascinating job. When you look at this team and what's coming back from the past, say, 2 or 3 years, and that's basically what we've been talking about, is the body of work that Richard Spielberg has been putting together now for the last 3 years. I mean, let's not forget the player that you mentioned already, Chris, that he traded up to get. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson, if he ever gets even close to what's in the tank athletically, and what we saw in that first season, that rookie year, where he was a wide receiver, running back, this and that, and just making people whiff after he gets the ball out there on the flats and just taking it to the house. If he comes back and even starts to understand football in general, we've got a hell of a football player there. That's not a whiff. If he just learns what's going on, he's going to be an incredible athlete and a great player in this league. But That and that's up to him. I mean, that's completely up to Cordarrelle Patterson as to whether or not he's going to commit himself to that, because he's got everything it takes. He's a playmaker. He's a playmaker, but he's got to know what he's doing out there on the field before they can allow him to be out there. And the last 2 years since then, Bridgewater, Barr, some of these guys, Rhodes. This is going to be a pretty special little team here with Peterson back. A healthy Kyle Rudolph. We're looking at a Mike Wallace. This could be something else, really, seriously. And I'm hoping that big Clemmings can fill in there at left guard and shore things up in there. He looks like a monster to me.
Yeah, and I think that Clemmings, he will be starting on this team come 2016. I think that he will find a spot along the offensive line. But I see him more of it as a tackle, and I think that I know the Vikings picked up Matt Khalil's option today for his fifth year. They still believe in him. So if he can bounce back from injury, that'd be big. And if that happens, the Vikings can save $6 million if they cut Phil Loadholt in 2016. So if Khalil can even, you're talking about players with all sorts of potential. Khalil's built like a house, but he hasn't been able to block anything in the past 2 years. If he figures it out, maybe it is a deal of health. I think that Khalil could take a step forward. You put Clemmings on the right side, a nice road grader there, and all of a sudden Teddy has all sorts of time to throw, and this offense could definitely take off beginning this year and going into the future.
A lot of backlash from Minnesota Vikings fans about the Matt Khalil fifth-year option, set to make $11.096 million in his fifth year, coming off two disappointing seasons. And, God, I hope he has a rebound. But Matt Khalil and Cordarrelle Patterson with the offensive genius and Norv Turner in charge on that side of the ball, I mean, how can he not get something out of those two very talented but very underwhelming players in the last couple of years? Chris Shad, Cold Omaha, 105theticket.com. Thank you for coming on. And honest to God, we're not joking about the hot dog deal.
One of these days,
I mean, we like to have fun in games and radioactive sports. Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson, all they do is joke around and have fun. We're dead serious about the hot dogs.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I'll definitely contact my hookup in Kansas City to get you some food.
No, it's not funny. Right. It's not jokey fun time. I'm being honest.
You need to lose that funny ha ha stuff in your voice.
Oh, gotcha.
Understand?
Okay.
Yeah. And trust me, if it doesn't happen next time, all excuses are good excuses, none are accepted. I'm going to tape you up from head to toe. You look like a mummy.
And then we're going to turn you into hot dogs.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Turn me into hot dogs.
Yeah. Chris Shad, thank you, my man.
Thank you, bud. Take
hot
care
dogs.
Of yourself.
We'll talk to you later.
That was a nice send-off. Really, really fun send-off.
I might just call him Hot Dog from now on.
Yeah.
Hey, Hot Dog.
Yeah. Well, who needs those hot dogs? We do. Yeah, well, we'll see what he does. Some big fancy ones, too. Wow, little Vikings NFL draft trivia. Look out, we need two contestants. At 651-989-9105. Three questions each, all multiple choice. Winner gets to choose between a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Twins game or a pair of tickets to go see this weekend's sold-out Northern Invasion at Somerset Amphitheater. We're talking Slipknot, Five Finger Death Punch. Woo. I'll just take those. If I'm a really good lifeline for somebody, I'll just choose the tickets to see Northern Invasion. They can go to the Twins game.
Okay.
Two contestants, we need you. 651-989-9105. Good luck, Sissy Pants. Come on back. Look out. That's the music we always put on when we play Vikings NFL Draft Trivia.
Yeah.
That's Vikings NFL Draft Trivia music. I wrote this. and here's what we're going to do. Okay. We're needing two contestants. Do we have two contestants? Okay, then understand that they each get three questions, all multiple choice. The winner has the choice of taking a pair of Twins tickets to tomorrow's Oakland A's game here at Target Field and or a pair of tickets to go see the sold out already Northern Invasion at Somerset Amphitheater featuring Slipknot, Five Finger Death Punch, and Volbeat and much, much more. I'm a lifeline.
You are a lifeline. We'll go to contestant number one who's just down the street from us here. Welcome Cliff from Dinkytown. Hey, Cliff, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, guys.
What are you doing in Dinkytown?
I live in Dinkytown right now.
Are you a college student?
No, I'm not. My fiance is.
Gotcha.
Did you ever catch her burning a sofa out in the middle of the street after a big win?
No, sofa burning going on anywhere.
All right, well, it's always sort of a prerequisite. Ask Ben Holson, he would know.
Yeah. I used to live over in that area and used to burn couches like crazy. question number one, Cliff. Remember, three questions, all of them multiple choice. You have the superstar Mike Morris to help you out on one of them. He's your lifeline, okay? So if you're drawing a blank and you need some help, just lean on the soup.
All right.
Question number one, Cliff. Who was the first player ever drafted by the Minnesota Vikings? Is it A, running back Tommy Mason? B, quarterback Fran Tarkenton? C, linebacker Rip Hawkins? Or D, tackle Paul Lindquist?
If you need help, I got you on that one.
All right, I'll take the help right away.
Go with A.
I'll go with A.
A. Tommy Mason, running back, is correct. He was the first overall selection by the Minnesota Vikings out of Tulane in 1961. You're one for one now. Question number two, Cliff from Dinkytown. Who is the only University of Minnesota player ever drafted by the Vikings in the first round? Is it A, defensive end Carl Eller? B, guard Tim Fink? C, tight end Dave Winfield? Or D, safety Tyrone Carter?
I'm going to go Carl Eller.
Carl Eller is correct. Sixth overall in the 1964 draft. It's fantastic. You're two
monster.
For two.
He was a monster. Still is. He can still play right now.
Question number three, Cliff from Dinkytown. What Heisman-winning quarterback did the Vikings once draft? Is it A, Fran Tarkenton? B, Teddy Bridgewater? C, Gino Toretta? D, Steve Bono?
Tarkenton?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Oops, sorry. That was incorrect. Sorry. That was incorrect. Gino Toretta, drafted in the seventh round in 1993 out of Miami. I thought the Minnesota Vikings were in the money. Never played a down in the NFL, though, did he?
Not a single down.
Not a down.
He was actually a pretty good guy. He threw a pretty good football.
He
just had too many players.
Yeah.
We just had too many players in town. I mean, he was, as far as Heisman Trophy winners go, he wasn't a bad player. He just couldn't break into our lineup. And, I mean, he was no Johnny Manziel. He was the bust, though.
He didn't play. Did he play in the NFL?
He didn't play in the NFL, but, I mean, he just couldn't find a spot.
Wow. Cliff from Dinkytown, two out of three. Hold on a second, my man.
I will.
Contestant number two, Mike from Medina. Hey, Mike from Medina. You're on 105 The Ticket. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Great.
Really good. Really super good. Have you ever had your ass cooled with a folding chair, Mike?
No.
Okay, well, that's fine then. I mean, would you ever care to?
I'll pass.
All right, that's fine.
It's fun.
That's fine. It's not a bad deal. I mean, I'd be open to it, though, and call back later and let me know, like tomorrow.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Mike from Medina, three questions each, all of them multiple choice. The winner gets to choose between a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Twins game or a pair of tickets to this weekend's sold-out Northern Invasion at Somerset Amphitheater featuring Slipknot, Five Finger Death Punch, Volbeat. You have to beat two out of three. Question number one, Mike, from which college have the Vikings selected the most players in the first round? Is it A, Notre Dame, B, USC, C, Florida State, or D, UCLA? Remember, you have the superstar Mike Morris to use on one of these questions as a lifeline.
Do you know that one, superstar?
I don't know it cold. I mean, I don't. I know what I want to lean toward Notre Dame.
That's what I'm thinking, but just because of recently, but...
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to go against USC, but I'd say Notre Dame. I don't know, man.
Are you asking him to be your lifeline on this question, Mike?
That's what I'm saying. Did that count as a lifeline use?
I'm sorry. Did I offer up too much on that? I thought he was coming
to
me.
That's all right.
Well,
you know what? I'll be fair. We'll call that as my lifeline.
Okay. I think Notre Dame.
You're going to take Notre Dame as your final answer, Mike?
I'll take Notre Dame, yeah.
You're incorrect. Though you are right. I mean, Harrison Smith and who else has
John
been?
John Sullivan, Kyle Rudolph,
but not in the
Alan
first
Page.
Round. None of those in the first round.
Oh no. You said first round?
Yeah. The most players in the first round.
I got to probably think.
What was the answer?
Probably USC.
I'm sorry, Ron Yeri.
Yeah. God. Steve Riley.
Steve Riley.
Joey Browner.
Lyman, Joey.
Kenneth Udeza.
Dude,
Max
I'm sorry.
Khalil.
Yeah.
All right, you got to run the board here.
I didn't read into that question properly.
Nobody loses, though. The loser gets whatever the winner chooses not to go to, the Twins game or Northern Invasion. So everybody wins here. Question two, Mike.
Okay.
Who's the only University of Iowa player drafted by the Vikings in the first round? Is it A, Christian Ballard, B, Kerry Cooks, C, Chad Greenway, D, Tim Sullivan?
University of Iowa. Let's go A. I don't even remember the guy's name.
Christian Ballard?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Chad Greenway, linebacker, 17th overall. My favorite guy from South Dakota, wears his jersey like it's gold back in 2006. That's just question three, just for fun. Because you're out of it.
Yep.
Of the quarterbacks drafted by the Vikings, who wasn't drafted in the first round? Is it A, Teddy Bridgewater? B, Tommy Kramer? C, Tavares Jackson? D, Christian Ponder?
T-Jack.
T-Jack is correct. You did end up with one out of three.
I'm sorry about that first question, dude.
That's all right, man.
I definitely steered you the wrong direction. I was not listening. First rounders, that made a whole hell of a lot of difference. Although, Harrison Smith went in the first round, right?
Yep.
Alan Page went in the first round. Yeah, we're still a long ways behind SC.
Justin, Cliff from Dinkytown, line two wins. He gets to choose between the Twins tickets tomorrow against the Oakland A's at Target Field, another four-game series starting tonight, or this weekend's Northern Invasion at the Somerset Amphitheater out there in Somerset, just across the border. Volbeat, Slipknot, Five Finger Death Punch, it's a big deal. Here's the tiebreaker. You're going to get this superstar. In the 1998 draft, the Vikings took Randy Moss with which overall pick?
You want me to answer that?
Yeah.
21, I believe.
Yeah.
He was a pretty good teammate, too. I liked him. A lot of people had trouble because he came in with, you know, the history, as we say in this day and age, character issues. He had some baggage. First question Joe Theismann asked him in the locker room, what are your goals? What are your objectives now that you're here with the Vikings? And Randy, as only Randy could put it, in sort of that southern twangy voice, said,
Super Bowl, homeboy.
That, and he also said, I'm just going to tear this league up. I walk right past you. I'm just going to tear this league up.
Habeka.
And so we need to go and take a small break. And when we do come back, it'll be the new Vikings offensive depth chart, the way we see it on paper, at least. And we'll do all that. And how long do you think? About 2 minutes?
Not even.
Minute and 45?
Not even. Coach them up and then someday be a player.
I like him.
And now it's time. It's time for guys like Gerald Hodges and some of these backup guys that the Minnesota, Scott Crichton, David Yankee. It's time to play.
Time to go. Shreve needs to step it up one more time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite players, one of my favorite Vikings, though, Chad Greenway is back. That means a lot when you've got all these guys running around out there, these young guys. Who's the big kid, the stud horse that we got from Georgia Tech last year?
From Georgia Tech last year? The big stud horse?
Linebacker. He didn't get out there. He was a special team player. I'll check into it.
Okay.
He's a stud horse.
Okay. Cornerback Xavier Rhodes, Trey Wayne, starting quarterbacks. Captain Munderlin in the slot.
Yellow.
Josh Robinson, Terrence Newman, Marcus Sherrill, Sherrill's Jabari Price.
Ooh, there's another one.
Safeties, Harrison Smith, Andrew Sendejo, Anton Exum, Robert Blanton, Taylor Mays.
Yeah. What'd you say those corners were?
Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes.
Yeah.
Captain Munderlin, Josh Robinson.
How's that sound?
Terrence Newman, Marcus Sherrill's, Jabari Price. I like them all.
Ooh.
Except Sherrill's. Not a big fan of that guy.
He's a good little football player. Good punt return, man.
He didn't do jack squat last year.
He's a player. I love him, man. Homegrown. I don't know if he's from here, but University of Minnesota. I like Sherrill's. Come on back, everyone. We are going to wrap this bad boy up. Sillier Side of Sports, true superstar, and we'll send you on your way next.
You ready for this superstar, Mike Morris?
Let's do it.
Sillier Side of Sports. Charlie Sheen has had some problems with drugs and alcohol abuse on his own, right?
Big time.
Josh Hamilton, same deal. Now back with the Texas Rangers, but had that problem with the Los Angeles Angels, where I want to say he got upset with his wife and ended up going and having some sort of a binge.
Well, she decided she was going to stay overnight, right?
Where?
Oh, wait. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say one word.
Part of me wonders if you're talking about Chuck Knoblauch.
That's who it was. One that came over to stay overnight with the kids.
Yeah.
I'm glad I stopped.
Yeah. So Josh Hamilton had some problems and didn't get suspended by Major League Baseball, even though he had a relapse of some pretty harsh drugs and drinking and all these things, which he's not supposed to do. Charlie Sheen tried to come to Josh Hamilton's defense over the weekend, but may have made things worse. Sheen says he doesn't like how the L.A. Angels, he calls them the Devils, the L.A. Devils are treated Hamilton. He ended up being traded to the Texas Rangers. That's fine. I'm sure some people agree. Sheen sent a message to Hamilton on Twitter that wasn't cool. He said, Dear Josh Hamilton, how you are being treated by the Devils is shameful. FAA, have a drink and go hit some bombs.
Charlie, I mean, that there's a mentor.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen, my mentor.
Yeah.
That's one thing you'll never hear in this world.
Yeah.
I got some really, here's another thing you won't ever hear in this world. You know, I got some really good advice from Charlie Sheen yesterday. You'll never hear that. No. Ever. You'll never hear that.
Never will.
Never be stated.
Are the St. Louis Rams headed back to Los Angeles? The team certainly trying to move, obviously. The NFL's official website already has a page set up for them. The website Field of Schemes discovered that if you search LA on NFL.com, you can find a team page for the Los Angeles Rams. At the end of every team page for the league is the city's shorthand, shortened nickname. Maybe the NFL was or is just getting prepared, but that seems quite odd.
Well, I mean, there's word that if it's anyone at all, it's going to be like a combo platter of San Diego and Oakland. Two teams playing out of that one stadium. I've heard from some pretty higher ups in the NFL that there will not be anything in Los Angeles anytime soon. Hmm. It's so well balanced. And you know what? To be honest, they've got it right where they want it. I don't know why you would try and shake things up when it is so balanced and it is such a mighty league. I mean, it's just so much money. Why play with
it? But how much money could you make in Los Angeles? And seriously, if the San Diego Chargers and the Oakland Raiders are the two teams that move there, would you really have two AFC West teams playing in the same, or would you have to move one to the NFC?
Wouldn't that be strange? There might be a realignment of divisions, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, there are so many really good rivalries, and it's already been shaken up once or twice in modern football. The divisions, the conferences. I mean, Seattle, Tampa Bay. That's been changed.
Yeah.
But I really think that they should leave it alone.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. I mean, so what? Los Angeles had a chance to love two different teams, the Raiders, the Rams. You messed up. You don't get a team if you can't support it.
Well, everyone was out celebrating the win of Floyd Mayweather on Saturday. Two brothers got into a bit of a heated argument about the fight, and, well, according to ABC 30, a 52-year-old man stabbed his 36-year-old brother. 52 to 36. That's quite the age difference of brothers. Stabbed him to death at around 1:30 a.m. on Sunday after two got into a heated argument following the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. Police haven't revealed exactly what the two men were arguing about, but the older brother allegedly pulled a knife out and stabbed his younger brother several times. The younger brother was pronounced dead a short time after police arrived.
I don't think there's any doubt who won that fight.
Yeah.
That'd be like you and I, age-wise.
Yeah. No, what? Well, no.
It'd be 54 and 32.
Yeah. Three?
About the same. 52 32. And 36, about the same age difference. Yeah.
According to the Lexington Herald Leader, former Kentucky Wildcats All-American Willie Cauley-Stein has changed his middle name to Trill.
Very catchy.
I don't get it.
I don't either. I think he should go back right now before he messes up.
Cauley-Stein, 21, was born Willie Dermond Cauley Jr. He filed a name change order Friday with the probate division of Fayette District Court to legally change his name to Willie Trill Cauley-Stein.
Yeah, be real careful with that. I mean, call Chad Johnson. Ask him how that was for him, that Ocho Cinco thing. It was cute for a while.
Cauley-Stein's mom, Marlene Stein, said her son decided to change his middle name since he was already there to change his last name. Trill is the nickname his boys call him.
Ah.
All right.
His last name is what?
Cauley-Stein.
Just rename him. His first name could be Franken.
Yeah. This year...
That was funny, right? Was that fairly... No, that was a decent joke, right?
No, I didn't. No. This year, Madden decided that once again they're going to change up how they vote for the cover athlete. EA Sports announced four finalists that the world would get to vote on. The four players are Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski,
oh boy,
Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown, and Cardinals defensive back Patrick Peterson. Out of those four, do you have a favorite? I say Odell Beckham Jr.
And what is the category again, please?
This is cover of Madden EA Sports for PlayStation, Xbox. I was going to come up with something clever, but
I think it'd be kind of cool to have him with that catch on the front of it.
Yes.
But I think the best player you could have, I see, you can't have Gronk on there because he's been hurt too much already. Anyone that you put on the front of Madden is going to get hurt.
Usually.
So, yeah, that happens. I don't want Brown to get hurt. Otherwise, that'd be my favorite to put on it.
Yeah.
Patrick Peterson, by the way, can play. He's a player. Oh. So I don't want him on there. I think Beckham, he could come back from an injury sooner. Hmm. Yeah, well, and besides, what a cool cover is to have him stretched out, laid out for that football the way he was last year. It might have been the best catch I've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely. Dallas Cowboys took a chance in the second round drafting Randy Gregory with the 60th pick overall. He's the guy that could not stay sober and stop smoking weed. Supposed to be a top 15 pick or maybe even a top 10 pick, but with all the marijuana usage, he slid all the way to the second round where the Dallas Cowboys took him. And Chief Operating Officer Stephen Jones, Jerry's son, said, a lot of times we have success with these players. A lot of times we don't. Quite honestly, Dez Bryant had some things that scared us even more than Randy Gregory did. But with the successes we've had with Charles Haley, with Dez, the common thing is that when the guy gets between the lines, he's competitive. Player like Randy Gregory, he doesn't become available down in the draft to us unless there's a unique circumstance. It's kind of the same thing that happened with Randy Moss and Percy Harvin.
True.
I think our team, our coaching staff, and our organization have grown to and be able to accept it. We've got a culture with leaders everywhere, leaders who can absorb this and help these guys, but we understand the risk. We think it's worth it.
I'm glad they think that way. They get their hands pretty much full. They got Dez Bryant. They got Gregory. They got that one guy, that Greg Hardy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So keep going. You might need a crack staff to keep that motley crew in line.
It's crazy.
Tomorrow,
game three, Minnesota Wild. Thank God they're not playing tonight. They can't lose. Game three, Minnesota Wild. You and I will be at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Join us from 4 to 7. We'll have more Minnesota Wild tickets, Twins tickets, Northern Invasion sold out tickets to give away. But we got to
look
go.
Look out, man. Got a true superstar for you all. Army Private First Class Markey T. Sims, 20. From Citra, Florida, assigned to the 38th Engineer Company, 4th Striker Brigade Combat Team, 2nd Infantry Division, Joint Base Lewis McChord, Washington, died December 29th in Panjshir District, Afghanistan, of wounds caused by an improvised explosive device. Army Private First Class Markey T. Sims died December 29th, 2012. So many, I have to keep going back. There's so many. Keep in your hearts and prayers, if you would, please. Brave young man, just 20, gave his life for his country. Good night.